Hey everybody, welcome to Black Girls Inc. I'm your girl, Sister Goose, and I have here with me my lovely co-host,
Sugar Mama.
Yes, my mama. And today, Mom, you know what I am already.
You're so excited.
I am excited. But I'm so excited too because it's one of my favorite genres that I like to read that the person's the author of, which is poetry. You know I love poetry, Mom.
Yeah, she does.
So please help me welcome, and I love his name, the King Pen. Let's snap for him. Hey!
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on to our show.
It was a pleasure.
Yes, so let's get down to business so we can get to know you, King Pen. I have to ask you, because that name is just so cool. Where did you get that name from? How did you come up with it?
There is a friend of mine named Gina Storm. They used to have a poetry show on Friday nights called The Juke Joint. And one episode, they said they wanted all the folks on there to come up with kind of a name, an alter ego, if you would call it. I'm a big comic book fan, and there is a comic book called Daredevil, and one of his adversaries was called the Kingpin. And what I did, I just switched the last letters. Instead of P-I-N, I kept it at P-E-N.
Okay.
Mm.
That's where you were going with that, yeah.
Okay, I like that. That's what's up.
And the name basically kind of stuck.
Okay. Well, King Pen it is. Look, we don't need to give you a nickname. You got a good one already. Alright, so can you tell everyone the title of your book and let them know what your book of poetry is about?
Yes. This book is number 4, and it's called it's called To Live and Die in America. It's basically about life for blacks, and really not just life for everybody. A little background on it. The book was originally supposed to come out in 2016 after my third one, Random Thoughts. But something told me to wait. So I shelved it, and I did some other things. And when the stuff with George Floyd kicked off, but not even before him, when Walter Scott was shot, when Mr. Castillo, when he was murdered, something said, okay, it's time. Yeah. It's time to bring his book back. So I started working on it again, and I added some more stuff to it. And this past August 12th, as a matter of fact, my publisher, Steve Fails Publishing, we released it on the 12th of August, and we've been going on ever since.
That's wonderful. I love that, and I want you to know, Sister Goose, she does her homework. All right, everybody, you know that's my saying. I do my homework, so I always go look at the book, read the information, look at your reviews and everything you get. And as I was reading about what your book of poetry was, I'm gonna let you know I cannot wait to get myself a copy. I thought it was beautiful what you said it was gonna be about. Like, I cannot wait to read it, because you were saying it shows the good times, the bad times, and the happy times. He said sometimes he might make you laugh, he might make you cry, and this is to show all types of lifestyle living in this place. And I thought that was beautiful, the way you said that. I love how you're showing, like you said, not just black people, but showing how it is for a person trying to make it in this world, and showing all 360 around of how a person feel, mm-hmm. and the struggle and the sad and the good and the bad. I just love that. So I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. So what do you hope people get after reading your book of poems?
Well, everybody is, well, you're on social media, so, you know, everybody always come up with, well, why are you pulling the race card? Why you say this? Why you say that? Mm-hmm. It's kind of something to show you in a capsule, mm-hmm. of what folks go through every day.
Exactly.
I grew up in Florida. I grew up during the 60s. I'm a 60s baby. Mm-hmm. The day that I was born was the day the Freedom Riders got started, May 4th, 1961.
Oh, wow.
So I guess it was a foreshadowing of something that I might get into later. And so it's I've watched it, I've lived it, I know what it feels like to be profiled, mm-hmm. I've watched the barrel of a cop's gun because they thought I was somebody else, I've had people that have literally wanted to kill me because of the color of my skin, mm-hmm. and the people that I was hanging out with, mm-hmm. so... It's given me a different viewpoint on life. It's not for me. It's not just something that you see on TV. It's something that I've lived.
Yes.
And I try and bring that stuff out when I write.
Look, just hearing you talk about your story and what you want people to get from your book and hearing your journey, I just think it's he's a walking miracle to me that he's still here, mm-hmm. with all he just said that he's been through. Mm-hmm. And a person like you, I like to call them seasoned, mm-hmm. because you got to see so much of the change happen. Like you said, you had people who wanted to kill you because of the color you was, and the gun pulled out you because they mistake you for being somebody that you're not, because, you know, they do the stereotype thing on black people. Mm-hmm. And to hear how you got to see the change, mm-hmm. of the seasons, mm-hmm. to where we are now in this millennium. And it's sad to say it, but like you said, people say we try to pull the race card, but I'm sure you, and you're much older than me, but I'm sure that you feel a certain type of way that some things that you've seen are still the same after all this time. Do you feel that way sometimes?
Yeah, but you also have to look at the mindset of our own people.
Yes, you're right.
We can only do so much if we have the intestinal fortitude to want to do it. Mm-hmm. If we don't want to do it, it's not going to get done. And we can fuss, and we can holler, and we can march up and down the street all we want. Mm-hmm. But if we don't want to get it done, it's not going to get done.
You're right. And if we don't stand together and keep hurting each other, then what are we fighting for? So... Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. So my next question for you is, when did you fall in love with poetry?
I wrote my first piece in the third grade.
Okay.
Okay, you started early.
I wrote a piece for a classmate who has passed. And I didn't write anything else after that until my senior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
It was funny because we were in my English class, and we got on to a portion called creative writing. Mm-hmm. Well, I would dabble in stuff, and the teacher would read my stuff, and she'd look at me, and she'd read some more, and she'd look at me, mm-hmm. But she would never say anything. So, just before we got ready to graduate, they came up with this contest, which I still think was something weird behind it. But they wanted somebody in the senior class. They held a contest. They wanted somebody in the senior class to write a poem to be read at graduation.
Okay.
And I said, nah, I'm not doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. And the teacher came up to me and said, you know you're going to put something in for this. I was like, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I was like, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you don't, you won't graduate with everybody else. You have to go to summer school.
Oh, shit.
Well, yeah, you
right,
Tony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, give me 10 minutes. So I wrote the piece. And didn't think nothing else of it. And it ended up winning. So I had to stand up during graduation while a very good friend of mine, who was our senior class president, read the poem in our graduation.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Forward 2011, I got divorced, and I just started writing. I just started writing, and a friend of mine who knew me, she knew I dabbled, and she was in a poetry room on Facebook called Poetry in Motion. And she said, you should post some of your stuff. I was like, why? She said, because it's good. I was like, yeah, okay. So I posted, and it went from there.
Wow.
So I've been pretty much going at it, with the exception of a short break in 14 when my mom passed. Otherwise, I've been pretty much going at it nonstop since then.
Okay. That's what's up. That is wonderful. And I want you to know whenever, because somebody recommended you to me, because we're in a group of urban poetry. Mm-hmm. And Katrina recommended you to me. I became good friends with her because she's the head of the page. And she told me to go look at your work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go look. Because like I said, I do my homework when I'm interviewing people. And I was looking at your work. And I was like, wow, this man can really write some good poetry. Because like I said, I love poetry. It's my favorite genre to read. I can't write it, but I love to read it.
And you'd be surprised what you could do.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
You'd be surprised because it's not, like I tell everybody, I am not a classically trained poet. Mm-hmm. I write to the voices that I hear in my head. Mm-hmm. It's not this rigid form. When you write something, it's not rigid. You write from the heart. You write from your soul. So never say you can't, because what may not sound good to you may sound excellent to somebody else.
You're right. So you know what, Kingpin? I'm going to take that challenge because in the group, as you know, they do challenges with the pictures and stuff. When we
read these.
And I saw one of yours for one of the pieces, and I just thought it was wonderful when I read it. Like, that was one of the pieces that was like, I got to have this guy on the show. Yeah, I see why she picked him. I need to talk to him. And I've been so nervous to try the challenge. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I got dyslexia, so I'm not the best speller. So I was that's nervous okay. about that.
You can run up.
I know it's okay, but that's my issues, not okay. everybody else's. Okay. You know, because ain't nobody the best speller in the
right,
world.
Right.
But I'd be nervous because I'd be like, what if I do it wrong? Because, you know, I'm good at doing stories, okay, but not too. That great at short stories and poetry. But hearing you said it's all about the feeling thing.
It is.
And if I can do spoken word, and that's yeah. the feeling yeah. of me being a character and stuff, mm-hmm. then I'm going to try it. So you just encouraged me to try it anyway. Because you said
you should.
Might like it. So I will try it.
You should, because that's why you need spell check. I mean, everybody misspells something here and there.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's why they have spell check.
Right.
Exactly.
The thing about poetry is you write what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
When I always looked at it this way. You're writing for yourself, but you just happen to let other folks in on it.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Anytime you write, you're not writing for the masses. At least I don't. You're writing for yourself. It may be something that you think you wanted to get out. It was something that you didn't understand why it happened or what it happened for. And you're just writing, you're writing your feelings out on paper, you're typing it on your keyboard, whatever. And you just happen to let the world in on your thoughts. That's how I look at poetry.
And I'm going to do that. Because, you know, that's the same thing I say about my fiction writing. I write Christian fiction. And I always mm-hmm. say that my writing, I write it for me. And I'm just letting people into my imaginary world. Because I love to have imagination. So, I'm going to take what you said. Because that's the same thing
mm-hmm.
in different phrase. And I'm going to take my own words and do what you just said. Practice what
you
said.
You better tag me so I can read it.
I'm going to tag you and I'm going to dedicate it to you
right
because
now.
You encouraged me to
you
do it.
I'm going
to be
here.
Like, shout out
right.
to the Kingpin with your name on it. He encouraged me. Here's my piece. You never know. It's going to happen
whoa.
Real
rise,
soon. It's going to happen real
again
soon. It is.
Again
so, my next question for you. Is mm-hmm. what advice would you give?
He gave you
I know that was for me, but this is for other people. He gave me my advice. What advice?
See, we had fun here. We had fun.
Yeah.
Here.
What advice would you give to young men who want to write poetry?
Young men.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what I told you.
Yeah.
You write from the heart.
Yeah.
You write from your soul. You write. You write what you feel comfortable writing.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel comfortable writing history, write history. If you feel comfortable writing erotica, write erotica.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say this. I will also say, don't pigeonhole yourself into just one genre.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Say you've never written nothing but Black History poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Venture out. Write romantic stuff. In my case, when I first started writing, all I wrote was romantic stuff, which was kind of funny considering I was getting divorced. But I've written erotica. I've written, of course I write history, but I've dibbled and dabbled in a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So don't limit yourself, but write what you feel comfortable.
I totally agree. That's some good advice right there. I'm taking notes myself. That's good advice. Okay, Ken Penn. Look, I said Ken Penn. Ken Penn. I got excited and I said his name wrong. You know that's me, Mom.
Yeah.
So, I would love to know, because I know when people do anything that's like poetry, and sometimes you do your poetry live and speak it to people and stuff. What is one of the best compliments you got about your poems?
I think one of the best ones I ever got, a young lady told me I inspired her to look deeper into race and relations. Because, you know, if you're not exposed to it, or if you're not, if it's not something that you see every day, you don't think about it. When I was in the military, now this was back in 86, you'd be surprised at the amount of white people who had never seen blacks, had never grown up around blacks. And the first time that they had ever seen a black person was when they went to MEPS processing. I've been overseas. I was overseas in Iceland, and when we did our indoctrination, they said do not be surprised if somebody comes up to you and rubs your hand. They're not trying to be how do you put it, he said they're curious. Because they had, a lot of the people in Iceland had never seen blacks. Blacks were not allowed in the country until 1978.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's deep.
There were still a lot of people in the country who had never seen a black person. And they wanted to know if our skin, if the color on our skin rubbed off, if it was permanent or not. Quick story. There was five of us walking, five black guys walking down the street in Iceland. And, we were getting enough stares and looks as it was, people staring at us from their cars and stuff. And there was this little boy walking with his mom, and he happened to turn around and he stopped and he stared. And he got loose from his mom and ran up to us. Now, I was the shortest in the group, and I'm 6 feet. And he ran up, and he stared, and he stared, and she looked like she was about to die. And we were like, ah, don't worry about it. And he came up to us, and he grabbed all of us by the hand and stuff. And you could tell he was just in another world. And people stopped in the streets and looked. We thought it was hilarious. But that shows... that shows you what happens when you're not exposed.
Exactly.
To things. Yeah. You don't know how to react. So we got a big kick out of it. We thought it was hilarious.
I know.
And
what you mean.
We made five new friends.
There you go. That's what's that. I love that story. That's a good story. Okay. I didn't even know that. You just taught me something new, because I did not know that they didn't have black people there until that year. So thank you for
They wanted to keep their bloodlines pure. They descend directly from the Vikings.
Okay. Well, now that makes sense. So, my next question for you is, what is next for you? What's your next plan after this book? Where are you planning to go next?
Well, I've already started. I am writing detective novel.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Like that. He should shock me with that one. Okay.
I have half of it done. I'm rewriting the second half. Because when I initially started, it was going to be a book of two separate, just two different detectives. But I stopped midstream, and I'm just going to make it. It's going to be two separate parts, but it's going to be about the same same detectives.
Okay.
He's based here out of Riverside, California. His name is Wayne Stewart.
Okay.
And he, just to give you a little bit of background on him. He was a Riverside PD officer, and he retired to become a private investigator.
Oh, wow.
The tentative title right now is going to be Death Comes Walking. So that's the tentative title right now. It may change, it might not. So I've been putting all my energy towards this particular book, but once I can settle down, probably about the first of the year, I'll start working on Wayne and start. I've already written part of the first chapter for the new book. The new half, and so we'll get back into him and get this started. And hopefully, I'm hoping either late summer or maybe beginning of fall, probably about this time next year, if not sooner. Wayne can tell his story.
Okay. That's what's up. Give him a snap for that, Mom. Look. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that now. I didn't know about that. I'm going to have to look up in that so I can read them stories. Okay? So, you know, whenever you write that next book, because that will be book number 5, right, when it's done?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'll be number 5.
When you write that next book,
mm-hmm.
I ask you to please hit us up so we can interview you, because you would be our first ever book king.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a challenge on here that if people write 5 books, they become like a book queen, because we already got 1 book queen, and we add people. Well, we got 2 now, and we add them to the list, and we call them book queen, but we have not had a book king yet. So, when you do that first book, hit me up like you told me to hit you up so you could be our first book king.
I will let you know when I'm finished and when we're all done with it and it comes out.
I can't wait. We'll be waiting for you.
It'll give me something else to do. I write short stories, I write poetry, I have a few short stories. I did post it in Katuna Soup. It's a short story called, the subtitle is called Something for Halloween. The original title of it is called The Archangel Chronicles. It is a story of a vampire who initially was an African prince. And he got turned by this female vampire. And it follows his story all the way forward. And there's some twists and turns in it. It is in Katrina's.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
Let me know if you can't find it, and I will send it to you personally.
I sure will, because that sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. I would really like to read that. I love that he said an African prince. I ain't never heard nothing like that before. Mm-hmm. That's something interesting right there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. If I can't find it, I'm definitely going to hit you up.
Just go ahead and send it.
And don't be hating, y'all, because I'm about to read it. And y'all, if y'all can't find it, y'all better look him up whenever we ask him for his information to get it. Because that's the goose ain't sharing. So my next question is, this is my last question too. What do you want people to know about you personally or as an author? Or either one, don't matter, both of them. Go ahead.
Well, there's two parts to me.
Okay.
There is the... Well, I'll do this one first. This is the first part of me. I am an author. I'm a poet. I write to inform. They don't teach our history in school. You would be surprised the amount of stuff that I've posted. That people come back and say, I never knew this happened. Case in point, 1983, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Only the second time we as a people have been bombed. The MOVE bombing in Philadelphia, they bombed one house just to get rid of some black radicals. And not only did it burn that house, it burned an entire city block.
Wow. Oh, goodness.
63 people died, including five children. Only two people survived. And I think the last of those two have finally passed. I think. I would have to look it up, but I think those two have finally passed. Mm. Of course, the first time we were bombed was at Wall Street. Mm. So, I have people that run across stuff that send me stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do my research and then I go from there. I wrote a short story about at Wall Street. And it was... a mixture. It was a fictional piece, but the information that was in the piece was real. I got the opportunity to interview the Black Wall Street historian, Lee Alford. And we sat on the phone for about 2.5 hours. And I asked him every question I could think of. And like I said, I wrote the short story. I based it around a guy. Based it around a guy who had moved from New York to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because he was getting away from a bad relationship. Okay, he met this local woman there, and he created a life for themselves there. And I just wove in some of the stuff that I had gotten from Mr. Alford and case in point, a lot of people don't know Black Wall Street started over a white female elevator operator and a black guy who was a handyman in the building.
No, I did not know that.
Okay. Now, depending on who you talk to or who you listen to, they were either in a full-blown relationship or she got caught in something and she was trying to get out of it, so she yelled rape. And it went from there. The sheriff, to his credit, after he arrested him, he told the mob that gathered there would be no lynching. And everything went from there. And depending on who you talk to or what records you can find, anywhere from 30 to 300 blacks and whites die. The majority of those were put in unmarked graves. And as a side note to that, I was reading the other day, and somebody said they believe they may have found that unmarked grave site, because they had found some human remains, and they were going to pursue that and see where that went, because they've been looking for that unmarked grave site for years.
Oh wow!
So they think they may have run across it.
That is it.
But to get back to that part, like I said, I am only a vessel. And like I said, I don't know why the ancestors picked me to say all their dirty secrets, but I wake up sometimes an idea for a piece will wake me up out of a dead sleep.
We all got that in common. I know what you mean.
Or it won't let me go to sleep until I've at least started it. So
I know
that's who I am as an author and a poet. I just try, like I told somebody else, it's not my job to tell you the whole story. My job is to inform you so that you want to go and find the information for yourself. Because
that's good.
I can tell you something, but I'm telling you something from my point of view. You need to find it from your point of view.
Exactly.
You need to digest it the way that it makes sense to you. Not just because I say it happened that way. You may read something and look at it completely different.
Right.
So, like I said, my job is to put it out there for you, and then you do with it what you will.
Wow. I love that. I really do like that. I think that's wonderful that you make it like that, to make people want to look up their history and stuff and look in the background of what it is about. I think that is wonderful. And I can't wait to read more of your work. So, but speaking of reading more of his work, he's about to give us a sample of his work.
Okay.
Because we are going to let the King Pen read us a poem or two before we go out, and he give us the information of where to find him out and get his book. So instead of tea time, today we're going to do, go ahead, Mom, poetry time. So King Pen, go ahead and read us a poem that you had.
Okay, the poem I'm going to read for you right now comes from the book. It's a piece that was based on something that Dr. King said.
Okay.
So the title of the piece is called Injustice Anywhere. Dr. King stated many words of wisdom, some that are more relevant today. But this particular one has stuck with me more than any other jewels of knowledge she shared. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. How can one even expect to have justice when the scales are tipped away from us? When the lives of people of color mean nothing to those tasked to protect, those meant to uphold the law. 3/5 of a man, but we are all supposed to be created equal. Yet according to the Supreme Court, persons of African descent could not claim citizenship. Then who do we belong to? Gunned down in the streets, in our cars, in our homes, by our own. Walking while black, driving while black, napping while black, shopping while black. Ask Oprah about the last one. Money doesn't matter. Status doesn't matter. Ask James Blake. Ask Tyler Perry. Ask Eric Garner, Arthur Jean, and Sandra Black. There can be no justice whenever the injustice rears its ugly head. Whenever racism is the word of the day. Whenever hearts are hardened to the plight of others. That's at peace.
Give him a snap. That was wonderful. Oh my goodness. My favorite part is when he said, driving while black, walking while black, napping while black, shopping while black, as Oprah Winfrey about that.
Yeah.
I was feeling all of what you were saying. That was wonderful, Kingpin.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah. I appreciate it.
We have time for you to read one more if you like.
Okay. Let's see what I
got. I'm enjoying myself. I just love poetry. I do. I love it.
I'm going to read you. I also write poetry about the homeless.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you.
I think that's a really good piece to choose to read too right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people dealing with that.
Yeah. This is a piece called Homeless and Hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed to beg, but I'm so hungry. Can you spare a nickel or a dime? I have nowhere to go, no place to lay my head. I do the best I can to live from day to day. Some days I eat, some I don't. Some days I roast the dumpster. Some food there is okay, it's just old. I used to have a job, a house, a family. But I fell on hard times, lost them all. So I live on the interstate. Now it's my home. So I stand here on this corner, day in, day out, depending on the kindness of strangers to live, to eat, to survive. I'm ashamed to beg, but I'm so hungry. Can you spare a nickel or a dime? That's that piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Look here, Kingpin.
Yeah, you think different.
Now, that one right there, that almost got me. You almost got me. And I love.
Make you think different.
This is what I love about poetry. I notice things. Yeah. And you changed your voice and you got into that character. And I felt like I was really seeing the person with the cup in his hand saying how he's hungry, how his voice is crackling because he's ashamed to even ask for change. I thought that was so welly read by you. What a gift you had.
Yes.
Thank you. A lot of people say they can read, they read my work and they can actually see what's going on behind the words.
I was able to visualize that, but man, to hear you read it, Gay, I'm sure that was a different effect I would have got if I read it to myself. Like, right. I would have felt that poem if I read it to myself, but the way that you read it, the feeling you gave it, the personality you gave to it, that was just beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. We really appreciate that. Give him another snack. So, King Pain, can you please let everyone know where they can go and buy your books and where they can follow you and look you up at all your social medias? Can you share your information with us?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. It's Anthony Arnold, which is my government name, by the way.
Okay.
It's Anthony Arnold 61 on Twitter. On Facebook, I have a poetry page that has every poem I've ever written.
Okay.
The title of the poetry page is called AA, The Tiger's Den, all one word.
Okay, what? Because I'm writing it down myself.
But that's on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram yet.
Okay.
As far as books are concerned, Amazon has all four of my books.
Okay.
And you can, if you wish to purchase an autographed copy from moi, my website, which we just redid, is called www.authoranthonyarnold.com.
Okay.
That website will also give you, will also take you to my blog, which is musingsofanthonyarnold.wordpress.com. So that's me in a nutshell as far as my books and my social media presence.
I enjoyed having you on our show, King Penn. You were such a wonderful guest for us today. Thank you.
This was a pleasure. I enjoy, like I told you, I enjoy interviews. It gives me a chance to get myself out, and it also gives me a chance to explain why I write what I do and how I write and that kind of stuff. So it was a pleasure for me. I am glad Katrina slid my name your way, and we got a chance to hook up and talk, and it was a pleasure. Anytime I can talk to anybody about my books and stuff, it's a joy for me, because I just have my books as my babies.
Anytime
I can introduce my babies to a different audience, everybody on Facebook pretty much knows how I am and how I write, and they know when stuff come out, but forums like this introduce you to a completely different set of people, people that don't know you from Adam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's always good to put yourself out there, because if you don't put yourself out there, how will you know?
Exactly.
How will you know if you were any good? How would you know if the stuff that's put out there is relevant?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And anytime somebody that I don't know, who's not in my immediate group or people that I've never seen, read my work and tell me that I enjoyed your work, then I know I'm taking the right steps in the right direction.
Yeah. Man, you are a man of wisdom. I don't know if anybody told you, but you just dropped some wisdom right there. Thank you for that little nugget. That's what we call it on the show when people drop wisdom. Thank you for that little nugget. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I feel full now. Do you?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, please, everyone, please make sure you go and support our brother King Penn. Please go look up his work, as he said, from all his social medias he has, so you can read his work. Go buy his book. And as you heard, he just shared some of his poetry with us.
Yes.
He's a talented brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for coming on our show again. And you know what this means now, right, Kingpin?
What?
Now you are officially a Black Girls Inc. member. See, so snap.
Life.
Yes, when you are a Black Girls Inc. member, that means we will always have you on more than once. You're more than welcome to come back onto the show. And next time, I would love to have you come on for FaceTime for one of our Men's Week. I would really love to have you on for that.
Okay.
So I will definitely hit you up when we ever get to the next Men's Week. I'll let you know, okay? Make sure you're on there.
Okay. I look forward.
All right, y'all. Well, as I always say, I'm your girl, Sister Goose.
And I'm Sugar Mama.
And we are Black Girls Inc. Snap you later.